I want to just say once again, thank you for listening to the right voice this morning and getting up and coming into to fellowship this morning. There's an all-out assault on our soul by the enemy, and he wants to isolate sheep so he can take them out, and he's doing it. He's destroying people because they're listening to his voice and not the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And so we need to know his voice. We need to be able to pick out his voice from a multitude of voices. I use the illustration of if you were in one room and your mother was in the other room, and there was a bunch of ladies in there talking all at one time, if you were listening carefully, you would be able to pick out your mother's voice amidst all the other voices. And that's how it works in the Spirit, is God will speak to us. But we need to identify and know his voice. And you cannot get to know anybody unless you're spending time with them. Amen. We're not talking about some little pop-up prayer, amen, and now I lay me down to sleep. But like we sang in the song, Lord, help me not to resist the choice to awake and to be with you and to listen to what you want to say. God wants to hear from us, but he also wants to talk to us. We're good at talking to God. But sometimes we struggle with the listening part. I know I do as well, because I got so many things I got to pray about, you know. Sometimes God just wants us to be quiet and listen. And in quietness and in rest shall be your strength. Sometimes it's not in the hoopla, it's not in the loud thing, it's not in the fire, it's not in the earthquake, right? It's not in the wind, it's in the still small voice of the Spirit speaking to us. His word, his voice is life to us. Jesus said, these words I speak unto you are life. They're spirit and they're life-giving. So when he spoke life. Amen. How could he say that? Because he was speaking what he heard the Father speak. And he is the author of life. And the Lord was in complete union and harmony with the Father. I'm glad that you made it here today. I want to just say this, that if you're here today and you have a life-controlling problem, I don't care what it is, God does not want a single one of us to be bound by anything. He doesn't want a single one of us to be bound by anything or to be a slave to anything of this world. So know that. That is God's desire. God's desire is to set captives free. And whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So I want you to hold on to that. Because God wants you to walk out of here free today. And our God is not weak. Our God is all powerful. Amen. He is the Almighty God. He has all authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. How many know that Jesus can handle it? Our little petty problems and the things that sometimes seem so big to us are really not that big at all. See, we have an adversary that is a liar, and he's good at magnifying the problem and trying to make it appear bigger than your God. He wants to get you into unbelief. He's not after your health so much or your finances. He's after your faith. He wants to rob you of your faith to get you to doubt God's ability and God's love and God's character, God's nature. He wants you to doubt what God says. He wants you to believe that God doesn't really mean what he says. So he will mess with your head and talk all kinds of, excuse the word, but crap. Because he wants us to believe the lie. Because if he can get us into unbelief, we will not be able to receive what God wants to freely give. Everything that we receive from God, we receive by faith. When we come to Him and we ask Him, we have to come with an expectation that what I'm asking for, I'm going to receive. Amen? God wants to be believed. So if we need salvation, we have to come with an expectancy, amen, that when I come and I bow before Him and I confess my sins and I renounce them, that God is going to forgive me and that God, just like Jesus said, would not reject me if I come to Him. Amen? You can be born again by faith in what Jesus has already done for you. The same thing with miracles or healings. It's the same way you receive it by faith. Your deliverance is the same way. It's by faith in God's ability, not my ability, not my willpower, but His ability to do what I can't do for me. The problem is we are too self-confident. We are too strong in ourselves. Isn't it interesting that in the kingdom, it's the opposite. It's blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize they don't have what it takes. For theirs is the kingdom. They're, as children, they realize that they depend on mom and dad to take care of them. They expect, amen, mom and dad to take care of them, to feed them, to clothe them, to comfort them, to guide them, to teach them. We come as children before our Father. But when we're strong in ourselves, then we don't have a sense need for Him. And when we're strong in ourselves, it's really a form of pride. And God doesn't give His grace to the proud. He gives His grace to the humble. He gives His grace to those who realize that they need Him. God decided to give His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. It was God's plan that the Son, the Word of God, would become the Son of God. Amen? That He would become also the Son of Man, that God would become a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and that He would go to the cross and pay the price for our sins, the price that we deserved to pay but couldn't. He took our place at Calvary. It was God's idea. It wasn't our idea. It was His plan. Because God so loved the world. God loved us first. You know, no matter how spiritually we think we are, we're all recipients of mercy. It's by His grace. It's by His mercy. And so we need to say thank You, Lord, for that. I realize that without You, I can do nothing. The Bible likens the nation Israel to a fig tree, but also the church, because we are the spiritual Israel, or the Israel of God, in that sense that there's no longer Jew or Gentile bond, or male or female, but one, and we're all one in Christ Jesus, right? So we become the spiritual Israel, and a Jew is not one who is one outwardly, but one that was in the heart. The circumcision is really of the heart, amen, not outwardly in the flesh. So God calls you and I a tree. We're likened to a tree. Now, we're not just any tree. We're a very special tree. We're fruit-bearing trees. There are ornamental trees, and then there are fruit-bearing trees. Some people like to have pretty flowering trees in their yards that create allergies and all kinds of nice things. But God designed you and I in Christ to be a fruit-bearing tree. And a fruit-bearing tree is a valuable tree. Why? Because it has a benefit. It provides something beneficial. And so God is expecting His trees in His orchard. That means you and I, in the body of Christ, to bear fruit. And much fruit. Now, we know, and I believe what Jesus said. How many here believe what Jesus said? I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He is the truth. And he said in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Wow. You understand what he said? Every branch in me, in Christ, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. How many feel like you've been going through a pruning process in your life? That's a good thing. Rejoice, amen, in the Lord. Give thanks for God's grace is at work in you and me. He's trimming out, he's cutting off the sucker branches and the stuff that is unnecessary so that you and I will bear more fruit. In Luke chapter 13, verse 6, Jesus spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down. Now, we know that Jesus used many natural illustrations to teach us spiritual truths. And in this fig tree, we know again that it's talking about the nation Israel, who was the planting of the Lord. They were his chosen peoples, the one that God chose to represent himself to the world through. And unfortunately, as has been the case throughout history, mankind never keeps his side of things. We agree to God very quickly, don't we? We say, oh yeah, God, I'll do that. I'll serve you. I'll follow you. And how often do we actually follow through with our commitments? Human nature, natural man, is a promise breaker. You know, God's a promise keeper. And we saw that demonstrated in the life of Israel and how they had continually going through the vicious cycle of, you know, coming to repentance and faith and spiritual vitality and revival and awakening. And then they got prospered and then they got complacent and then they got apathetic and then they ended up in bondage, you know, and their enemies came and began to oppress them. And then God would send a prophet, amen, and he'd call them to repentance and they repent and they come back to God and God would forgive them and God would once again wake them up and they come into spiritual revival and then they'd get prospered again. And after a little while, guess what? Oh, I don't really need to go to church anymore. I don't really need to pray. I don't need to read the word anymore. I'm good. What do I have need of? Over and over we see this pattern. Now understand this, folks, that unbelievers cannot bear fruit. So he's not talking here about unbelievers. He's talking about his people. When a farmer plants a tree, or, you know, an orchard dresser, if you will, is planting trees, he's expecting something, amen, from his labor, from his work, from his toil, from his investment. And how many would agree with me that if you planted an orchard and some of the trees in that orchard were just kind of like taking up ground, you were watering that tree, you were fertilizing that tree, you were doing everything you knew to help that tree bear fruit, and it continued to just to bear no fruit, how many would agree with me that it would be probably a smart or good idea just to get rid of it? I think it would make good firewood. Now, Jesus uses natural illustrations to teach us spiritual principles. And just like God, he's a farmer, amen? And he's delivered us, you and I, from the power of sin. And hope that we would go and bear good fruit. And so any wise farmer is going to plant his trees in a favorable condition. So God has given you and I in Him access to His throne of grace. How often? On Sunday morning? Occasionally? No, every day, right? We can access the Father. We can come to Him in faith. We can receive grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. God has made Himself available for you and I to come to Him and receive everything that we need to prosper in our soul, to bear good fruit. We are bearing the fruit of Him. We are to bear the fruit of Christ, not the fruit of self. The world does not need Christians acting like Christians. Come on, somebody. The world needs to see Christ through Christians. See, a lot of people can fake people. Religious people can fake people. They can act nice. They can be the friendliest people you meet. But are they bearing the fruit of God's Spirit? Or is it just people acting nice? You see, that kind of fruit is no good. It's wood, hay, and stubble. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. What has God made available to us, folks? Everybody say, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now in John 15:16, Jesus was speaking to His disciples and He said, You did not choose Me. Oh, I chose Jesus. You know, a lot of people talk about receiving Jesus. The question needs to be, have you been received by Jesus? Have you been born again? A lot of people are saying sinner's prayers, but they're not born again. Have you been received by the Lord? Have you come with a contrite and broken spirit before the Lord and a full repentance, understanding that your soul is in danger of hellfire, and the only hope you have is to throw yourself, cast yourself down at the feet of the only one that can save you, and the only way you can be saved is to turn away from yourself and quit trying to be your own Savior, trusting in the Lord fully for the grace in Him that we need. You know, I believe this fruit that Jesus is talking about, this fruit, He said that you should go and bear fruit. I've chose you and I appointed you, or King James says, I ordained you, that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Huh? How many have ever left fruit out in the bowl too long? It's not going to remain, is it? So we need to ask the question, what kind of fruit is He talking about here? What is the kind of fruit that's going to remain? Could He be talking about the graces of the Christian life, the fruit of His Spirit, the love, the joy, and the peace of the Lord? Yes, I believe so. But I also believe, folks, He's referring to souls. He's telling His disciples, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples. I want you to win souls. And I want you I want that fruit of your labor to remain. Even as Jesus, as He prayed to the Father in John 17, He said, Father, of all those that You've given to Me, I've lost none except the one, which was Judas. That was the fruit that remained. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? God doesn't want us just to get people on a roll. He wants us to make disciples. He wants us to get people established in Him to the degree that they will be able to stand to the end. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That your fruit should remain. Lasting fruit. Remember James 2:20 says, without faith, what? Or faith without works is dead. So the following verse is really a prophecy from Isaiah 61. This is concerning Christ and those who would follow Him. And He says, listen, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon Me. Why? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. God wants us to be about His business, just like Jesus. And why do I know that? Because when Jesus left, He says to His disciples, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. And then in the Great Commission, He says, listen, go to all the nations and teach them. Amen? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I taught you, all things that I taught you. Go and do likewise. As I have exampled and modeled to you, I want you to follow my example. And then I want you to also impart these same truths to others who will do likewise. And on through the generations we've had, the church has grown, amen, in the earth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, not so we can feel good, however you do feel good. The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me because it gives me goosebumps. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because it makes me look good. Come on, somebody. A lot of people are looking for that because they want to be recognized. The Spirit of God is upon us because we want to manifest Christ to the world, amen, and present Christ to every man and not present ourselves, thank God. The world does not need us, folks. The world needs Jesus Christ, amen. And we've got to get out of the way and we've got to allow God to be glorified, amen. Hallelujah. We're here to serve, not to be served. We're here to bear fruit. If we're the planting of the Lord, then we should be bearing fruit. Why should it come to the ground? That was the dresser was saying, why does this tree continue just to draw the resources that we're pouring into it and not bear any fruit? What good is it? What cut it down? But then there was somebody that stepped into the scene there and says, but Father, he spoke to the master. He says, let's give it a chance. Let's give it another year. Let us, you know, dig up around it and cultivate it and fertilize it and give it another year. And if another year it's bearing fruit, great. But if not, then let's cut it down. Let's get rid of it then. Yes, I'm in agreement. How many know that it's Jesus who is our great high priest who pleads our case before the Father and says, Father, give them grace. Give them mercy. Give them time to repent. Give them time to get into the place where they're bearing fruit and they're not just a fruit tree by name only. You can ask most people in America and they'll tell you, oh yeah, I'm Christian. As a matter of fact, most people think they're going to heaven. If you ask them, are you going to heaven? Oh yeah, why? Oh, I'm a pretty good person. I go to church, whatever. Many people will acknowledge or at least say that they're a Christian. How about you know that a real Christian is a Christian that is bearing fruit, the fruit of Christ? Amen. The reason they were called Christians is because they were followers of Christ. They were an expression of Him in the world. They were bearing fruit. So, this is a barren fig tree that Jesus is talking about. No fruit. Now, was it the owner's fault that it failed to bear fruit? You know, sometimes we want to blame other people. Sometimes we want to blame God for our fruitlessness. But God has done everything. He has provided everything for us that we could bear much fruit. Jesus says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. If you're here today and you say, that's me, I want to bear much fruit, then understand this, that you're going to have to be faithful in what you have now. You have to be faithful in the little bit God has entrusted to you now if you want to bear more fruit. And understand this, if you are faithful to the little bit that God gives you now, that God is going to take out the shears and He's going to begin to prune your life. And sometimes it's going to be painful, but it's going to be worth it in all eternity. Because we're not living for this world. But we're living for that world. Hallelujah, we're living for eternity. A fruit tree is not intended to be an ornament. A fruit tree is to do what? Bear fruit. Every branch in me, Jesus said, John 15:2, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So in verse 7 in Luke chapter 13, he says, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? And but the Lord, amen, intervenes, and he says, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down. This fig tree, folks, had plenty of time to produce fruit. And you know, the 3 years is, I believe, is symbolic of the 3 years of Jesus' ministry to Israel and how they had rejected him as Messiah. And unfortunately, that came to pass. But understand this, that in Christ, we are the Israel of God, and we are also to go and bear much fruit, and our fruit is to remain. Because when we're bearing fruit, we're glorifying the Father. And it is absolutely impossible for us to bear fruit unless we are abiding in the One, amen, who supplies the grace and the ability for us to provide, to produce fruit. So God is looking, and Jesus is pleading. But see, a lot of people, they receive the grace of God in vain, and they don't do anything with it. I pray, God, I don't want to receive your grace in vain, but I want to be fruitful. I want to bear good fruit, and I want to finish well. I want to finish strong, and I want to hear you say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. I know who you are. There are going to be many that will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? They are about doing good things. They are doing their own thing. What is necessary is that we are doing the will of God. What is the will of God? Do you know what the will of God is? Are you doing the will of God today? Are you bearing fruit? Are you abiding in Jesus? Is your life an expression of Christ? Or are we just full of ourselves? You know, the Lord says many hard things in His Word. And you know, it makes people mad. People get mad. They'll get mad at you. They'll get mad at me when I tell them that this is the truth, folks. This is what Jesus said. I'm not going to rip you off. I'm not going to tell you something that's not true. I love you too much to lie to you. Just so you'll like me. How many believe that the Lord has every right to expect good fruit from us? Look, folks, He gave His life for you. He bled and died for you. He deserves our worship. He deserves you and I giving ourselves back to Him as a living sacrifice to serve Him the rest of our days as an act of gratitude. So that Jesus will receive a return on what He has invested in us through His death. Do you hear me? Because if we do not bear fruit, then we are going to be of those that will be plucked up and removed. And Jesus said that that branch will be thrown into the fire. For 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. One of the commentators, his name is G.H. Lang, he said this, neither a nation nor a person has reason to enjoy the care of God if not bringing forth the fruits of righteousness unto the glory and praise of God. Man exists for the honor and pleasure of the Creator. When he does not serve this just end, why should not the sentence of death follow his sinful nature or sinful failure and he be removed from his place of privilege? We need to be careful to honor the Lord with the gifts that we have received. God has given to every one of us, if you're in Christ today, if you are truly His, if you are born of His Spirit, you have received divine deposits of His grace. Call it divine money, but God has placed within us giftings, abilities, that we should go and produce more with. That we should invest it in the hearts of others. We don't want to be like the foolish man who feared the Lord and buried his one talent in the ground. And even what he thought he could hold on to, he ended up losing. Because he was unfaithful to God with what he had received. God's not saying you gotta, if you don't have but one talent, then be faithful with that one talent. Amen? But to whom much is given, the same much is required. So if you have five talents, that means that you have a greater responsibility before God. But all of us are called to be a fruit-bearing tree. And if we are not, folks, hear me, we are in danger of being removed from our place of privilege with God. And to the nation of Israel, he said this in Isaiah chapter 5. Many are very familiar with this in verse 1. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. Look at verse 4. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? God is saying, I've done everything for you that you could bear good fruit. And after I have invested all this, and today, folks, we're talking about the blood of Jesus' Son. How could you not go and bear fruit? I've given you access to my throne of grace. All that you have need of, you have access to. Come freely and receive freely. Come by way of the blood. Be filled with my Spirit. And let the life, the expression of Christ be released through us. Unless we are abiding in Him, continuing in Him, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. It's not enough just to claim to be a fruit-bearing tree. We've got to bear fruit. So a lot of people talk about being a Christian, but if you look at their life, there's no evidence of that. Folks, they're in danger of being plucked up, of being removed. If you go to Ephesus today, there's nothing but ruins. God warned the churches over and over. He spoke to the Laodicean church about their lukewarmness. Are we listening? God hates lukewarmness. It's distasteful to Him. Why is that? Because Jesus paid a tremendous price for us to give us access to all of heaven and the grace of God that can be abundantly supplied to us, poured out on us, so that we would bear good fruit and glorify the Lord. There's no excuse why we could not bear good fruit when He has done so much to make that possible. Are you hearing me today? What more could I have done to my vineyard that I've not done? Hear me. Judgment eventually comes to every tree the Lord has planted. It will eventually come. And the trees will be judged by their works. Privileges abused will be privileges lost. Revelation 22:12, and behold, Jesus said, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. to give to everyone according to his work. The dresser here in this parable was pleading for more grace. That's what he was saying. Father, give him more grace. Give him a little more time. We are watching an apostasy take place today. Multitudes are falling away from the faith. And that's what Paul told Timothy. He says in the latter days, some will depart from the faith and they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And we see people running after these other Jesuses, these other gods, these false gospels, this cheap grace gospel that requires no cross. They're offering people salvation without repentance. They're offering people a crown without a cross. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I'm just thankful that Jesus is pleading our cause. I'm just thankful that God is patient. Amen? That God has given us space. He's given us an opportunity to get it right, to get back to Him, to return to our first love and do the first things. He's saying, look where you've drifted. Look how far you've drifted away from where you once were. I'm calling you to come back. Come home. Get back with me. Yoke up with Jesus. Hook up with Him. And you'll bear good fruit. Get over yourself. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25 that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. He's our great high priest. But it says He is able to save to the uttermost, Hebrews 7:25, those who come to God through Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, come to God. Do you understand? He's able to save to the utmost those who come to God. See, some people are just waiting around for something to happen, but God says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. For those who come to God, God is able to save. It doesn't matter how far away you are, how sinful you are. If you come to God, there's grace. There's mercy. Amen? God just says, come back. Sometimes God has to dig down to the very depth of our being. He said, let's dig down deep. Let's get to the roots and let's fertilize. Let's work on this tree. How many know what that's like to have God digging down to the very roots of your life, the depths of your soul? Why does He do that? Because He wants us to bear fruit. Because eventually a final determination for each tree is going to be made. Judgment is going to come. And we shall all give an account of ourselves to God. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Now, only the owner and the dresser know the limit of grace to be given to each tree. We don't know that. You see, we're good at giving ourselves grace. But the grace you give yourself will not save you. You need God's grace. And the owner and the dresser are the only ones that know how much and for how long they will wait for you to turn to God, to repent of your sins, to stop like men, stop sinning, turn to Jesus Christ, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the refreshing of God. And I'd like to know when I laid my head down at night that I have a clear conscience. I can sleep in peace. I'm not worried. My soul is right with God. I can sing that song and mean it. It is well with my soul. God's calling some of you today just to recommit, to come back to Him. Because you've been out of fellowship and you're not bearing the fruit of His presence because you're not in His presence. You don't take time to connect with Him and stay with Him and walk with Him. Folks, I don't want the opinions of men to keep me out of heaven. We got to get over ourselves, and we got to get over the opinions of others, of what they think. What it really matters is it right between you and I, God? Amen? And I'm even willing to make a public confession of you before men, even if it's not popular. I'm willing to admit I'm not all that. I'm willing to admit I need some help, God. I'm willing to be honest, even before men, as Jesus called people publicly. I want to get my heart right with you, God. I really want my heart right with you. I want to know that it's okay with my soul. I want to know that it's right. God, I'm asking you to grant me the grace to be delivered from these things, these chains that are holding me. Some of you are dealing with besetting sins. Some of you are dealing with sins that have been a life-controlling issue for you, and God wants you to be set free today. Will you receive it? Will you come to Him? Will you humble yourself? Will you bow your soul before your Creator and acknowledge your sin, renounce it, turn from it, and allow the grace of God to set you free today? God's looking for good fruit. Paul told Timothy, do not neglect the gift of God that's within you. We're a privileged people. We're the planting of the Lord. But privileges can be lost if we neglect the gift of God within us. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Folks, this is serious. This is the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His word is forever settled in heaven. He is the eternal word. What he says is true, and what he says stands. And we are responsible for what we have heard today. We are responsible before God to either make a decision, yes, Lord, I'm going to give myself to you fully, or I've decided not to. If you decide just to be kind of in the neutral place, you've already made your decision. But God says, I will not have you neutral. I will not have you in the middle. Either you're with me or you're not. And he who does not gather with me will scatter abroad. And I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But that life is in me. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will bear much fruit. Amen. And he says, you will ask the Father and he will give you what you ask for. Your prayers will be answered. I want that. I want him. Oh. Hallelujah. Don't resist the Holy Spirit today. Don't resist His voice. The more you resist, the more you say no when He's calling and He's tugging on your heart, the harder your heart will become and you'll become callous to the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. You know who you are today. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will also deny you before the holy angels, before my Father. Today is the day of salvation. I'm not asking you to come to me. I'm asking you to come to Jesus today. I'm asking you to come clean with the Lord, to be honest with God and say, God, I want to bear fruit. And I want to bear much fruit. God, I want to reconnect. If you need to reconnect with the Lord, come on down right now. Just come on down. Say, God, I just need to recommit my life to you. Hallelujah. If you pretend to be what you're not, you'll never become what you're supposed to. Come on, they're coming. Just come. Come down and say, God, I want to get free. Maybe you just need some chains broken off of you today. Come on down and get prayed for today. God's calling you to repentance. Hallelujah. It's not worth it. Don't allow the opinions of men to stop you from coming to Jesus today. I want to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you this question today. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you going to heaven? Do you know that you know that your sins are forgiven, that you're going to heaven? Is it right with your soul today? If you're here today and you're not really sure, where you stand with the Lord and you want to make sure that your heart is right with God, I just want you to slip up your hand and I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See that hand? Just come on down. Come on down to the front. That's all right. Step out for Jesus. Don't let the opinions of men stop you. Just come to the front. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 You know, Jesus, he walked among the men and he just reached out to them and he touched them and he called them. He says, come, follow me. Come follow me and I'll make you fisher of men. God's calling you to serve him and he wants you to surrender. Will you come? Will you say yes today? You're not saved. If you're not saved, come. You need to get your heart right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus said, when once the master of the house has risen up and he has closed the door, he says, you will begin to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and it will be too late. Folks, we don't know when that door is going to close, but that door is going to close, according to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you one more opportunity. You're not right with God, but you want to get right with God. Just make your way down here right now to bow your knee before the Lord, not before man, not before me, but before Jesus Christ. Just come. Don't let the opinions of your friends or anybody else keep you back from Jesus. I'd like to ask everybody else just to pray. Join. This is not some kind of show here. Let's just join and pray for those who are here. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your abundant grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have come that we might have life and life more abundantly. God, we thank you that you have come to set the captives free. We thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. We thank you that your power is present in this place to heal. If you need healing in your body, God is the healer. Be healed in Jesus' name. We cancel every assignment of the enemy in Jesus' name. We break every curse in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every sickness, every disease, we cancel your assignment now in the name of Jesus. We believe that you are the healer. And today is the day. Salvation, healing, and deliverance. So be free from it. Be free from it. Jesus' mighty name. We speak life and health and peace in the Holy Spirit. Shalom. And the Lord is blessing you. The Lord is keeping you. The Lord is causing his face to shine upon you and being gracious to you. The Lord is lifting up the light of his countenance upon you and giving you his peace. Shalom. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.